It's All Things Considered on WUOT. I'm Brandon Hollingsworth. 1 year ago today, I stayed up until 2 o'clock in the morning to watch something remarkable. A mobile laboratory the size of a car touched down on the dusty surface of Mars. In the year since that exhilarating landing, the Curiosity rover has been poking, prodding, and sniffing the rocks around it in an attempt to better understand Mars's past and present. Linda Kay is a geologist at the University of Tennessee, and she's a member of the science team investigating Mars from right here on Earth. One of Curiosity's biggest findings to date is that Mars was at one point in its history habitable, that is to say that the environment was somewhat hospitable to at least microbial or bacterial life. So I want to talk about that for just a moment, because it wasn't like scientists saw a microbe waving back through the microscope.
That would have been great,
but the story of the century, but there were other clues that led them to that conclusion. So what was it that Curiosity found that led scientists to believe that Mars was conclusively habitable?
Well, when we think about habitable environments, when we think about what life needs to exist and to thrive, we're really looking at three things. We're looking at a source of fluid, so a source of water. We're looking at a source of nutrients, nutrients being any of the chemicals that are utilized through biogeochemical processes for metabolism. And the third is a source of energy. Now, most planets have a source of energy. We always have the sun, even Mars at its further distance. The sun is weaker, but there is sunlight. But we can also have chemical sources of energy. So we can see changes in elements from one valency state to another. And this can allow a chemical push. And so what we found with Curiosity since being on Mars in Gale Crater is, first, an abundance of evidence of water. We have evidence for flowing water over the surface, probably rapidly moving streams. Streams maybe a half a meter to a meter deep that were carrying sediment and rounded these boulders. And we're seeing a lot of evidence. And as we continue our drive through Gale Crater, we're finding more and more evidence of these streams. And then we've also found evidence for standing water. We found very thinly laminated or thinly layered sediment, very fine-grained material, which would only fall out of suspension in very quiet water, so standing water environments. And in these standing water environments, we found chemical evidence that the pH, so the alkalinity, the acidity of that water, was fairly neutral. And that's always beneficial as well. If we look on Earth, we have organisms that can live in extreme environments. We have organisms that can live in the cores of nuclear reactors. But what we don't have are many organisms that live in those extreme environments. And so we found chemical evidence that the environment was very neutral, which is also beneficial to the possibility of life.
Your specialty, in particular, is studying and understanding sedimentary rocks, that is to say rocks that were originally deposited in bodies of water as silt and sand and dirt and eventually were turned to stone. So what has your analysis told you about the sedimentary rocks that we have found around Curiosity's landing site?
Well, the most fun I've had has really been in the area where we found evidence for standing water. And this was an area named John Klein. Because here we not only have these very finely grained sedimentary rocks that suggest very still waters in which they were deposited, but they also contain a number of secondary or diagenetic features. There appear to have been cracks that formed in the substrate, and then the cracks were filled by other mineral forms. We also see little concretions. You might remember the Martian blueberries of the Mir rovers. We have similar blueberry-like things. They're made out of a different mineral, and they're much smaller. But you form concretions like this when you have water that's flowing through already deposited sediments and begins to nucleate and precipitate and make these little round spheres. And so I've had a lot of fun working with a lot of the other scientists on the team in trying to backtrack and find out how many episodes of fluid might we have had. Because this tells us something not only about how long fluids might have been available on the surface of Mars, but it also tells us how secondary fluids may have come in and altered our chemical signatures. And so we have to try to understand how they might have been changed.
Well, over the course of the last Earth year, the rover has driven only about 1 mile. It's been doing a lot of detailed analysis, but in terms of, it's not winning any marathons.
I have to do this in metric.
I'm sorry. It's been, 1.6 kilometers thereabouts? But now the spacecraft is going to begin a second phase of its mission, where it's going to start stretching its robotic legs a little bit more, going a little further away from the landing site, and that includes a lot more driving. So where is Curiosity headed, and what will it look for when it gets there?
Yes, we've left. So we started at our landing spot. We moved to this area called John Klein to really finish testing things and to look at this environment, because from orbital photographs, we thought that there were layered rocks there. Now the goal is to get to Mount Sharp. Mount Sharp is this huge stack of layered rock that forms a mountain in the middle of the crater. And the goal is to get there and to start looking at the strata. It's going to take us many months of driving. We started driving at the end of July, and so we're really sort of on a mode right now of shut up and drive, shut up and drive.
We're not stopping for lunch. We're going to go straight on.
No, we're not stopping for lunch. We've had a lot of discussions with the science team and have set up sort of routine investigations. There are some things that we do every day or every week. You know, we make atmospheric measurements. We take pictures of the sun to look at how much dust is in the atmosphere, to look at how opaque the atmosphere is. And so we have a series of set data points that we collect on this traverse, but otherwise we're trying to drive as much as we can. We've defined several waypoints between us and Mount Sharp, which is about 6 kilometers away. And these waypoints, we will stop and probably spend several weeks at each of the waypoints. They're places that we identified from orbital imagery, so on the satellite imagery, and they're places where we think that we'll find geologic contacts that will help us understand the greater story.
Along the way, as you said, on the 6 kilometers to Mount Sharp, the rover, like any good tourist, is going to be snapping photographs. It'll be keeping an eye on the weather you talked about, stopping to investigate, I hesitate to call them roadside attractions.
A couple of roadside attractions.
Exactly.
That's perfectly
right.
Fine.
Just like any great, great road trip. So what are you most looking forward to investigating on that drive to Mount Sharp?
You know, I've been looking at our end of drive pictures every day. We sort of, we're creating sort of a running view out the window with every drive. And there's been a number of things that I've been surprised about just looking at these images. We're traveling through very different territory. We've left this area where we had beautifully layered rocks. We're now traveling over a relatively smooth but varied interval, but we keep seeing chunks of conglomerate being a sedimentary rock made up of large boulders. And that really suggests that the fluvial activity, that the stream activity on Mars might be spatially much more widespread. And so I'm sort of keeping a track of how our environments are changing as we drive across the United States, you know, as we drive across Gale Crater. The waypoints that we're going to be stopping at, I'm trying not to think too much about right now, because we looked at them, we picked them, we argued about them, but there's only so much we can tell from the orbital imagery. And a lot of the final decisions about how long we'll stay at each of these roadside attractions will depend on what we see as we get closer. In the meantime, I'm just excited about getting towards Mount Sharp. When we reach the end of Mount Sharp, we're going to have to cross a modern dune field, and then we're going to have to go down through this little depression. And then there's actually a little bit of a cliff that we're going to have to go over. But that cliff, from orbit, from geochemical measurements from orbit, shines. It's made of hematite, which is an iron oxide mineral. And my thoughts are that this is mostly secondary mineralization, so that we had sedimentary rocks, and then we had fluids move through that deposited the hematite in this one area. And it's spatially restricted. And so that's going to be a wonderful exploration point to find out why that's there, why it's spatially restricted. And I think it's going to give us a lot of information about the history of fluid activity in Gale.
How long will the road trip take to drive the 6 kilometers to Mount Sharp? How long will that take?
If we don't stop at any of the waypoints, we could probably be there around December or January. So, and then depending on how long we spend at any of our roadside attractions. And of course, you know, we'll knock on wood here, God forbid any difficulties in traveling. It's going to be early next year.
Dr. Linda Kay is a geologist with the University of Tennessee working on the Mars Curiosity Rover project, which landed the Curiosity Rover on the surface of Mars 1 year ago today. Dr. Kay, thanks so much for being with us today on All Things Considered.
Thank you.